This is the sixth in a series of recordings on Maseches Tamid. We're just doing a quick run through the Masechta in order to help people who would like to be able to make a siyum in isolation on Erev Pesach. We are at this point up to the Mishnah on Chav Ches Amid Aleph on 28a, six lines up from the bottom, and we've now pretty much concluded our discussion about the guards in the Mishkan overnight, and we're shifted into talking about the first steps that they would take in the Avodah, in the service in the Beis HaMikdash, in the morning. We already learned about the wake-up and the lottery for the Kohanim, and now we are moving into the inspection of the Beis HaMikdash, as well as Trumas Hadesh and cleaning of the ashes off of the Mizbeach. I expect with this recording to go up to the top line on Chav Tes Amid Aleph on 29a. Okay. So our Mishnah begins. Natal Samachteach Upatach HaSapishbeish. They are standing at this point. The Kohanim, the Mamun, the designee, and the Kohanim, he has woken up, are standing in the Beis Hamokad. If you were to turn to Mem Amid Aleph, to 40a, after Maseches Midos, look at the diagrams there. The diagram that's marked Yud Zayin, it's in the bottom right part of the page, gives you off to the right. Remember that it's the north, if you're looking at it directionally. But off to the right, you get a set of lashachos, a set of rooms. That includes the area from which the Kohanim descended during the night to go to mikvah. That's the space where they're standing right now. So they're facing south. They're facing towards the Beis HaMikdash. And there's an entrance, Shar Beis HaMokad. And the Shar Beis HaMokad, this gate from which you enter into the Beis HaMikdash, also has a pishpesh, has a small gate on the side of it, and that's actually the way that you would enter. They did not open the gates of the Azara, the reason being that it's still before morning, and they don't open the gates of the Azara until morning. So the designee would take his key, Natalas HaMafteach, Upatach HaSapishpesh, and he opened the small gate, V'nichnas V'Beis HaMokad La'Azara, he entered from the Beis HaMokad into the Azara, into the Beis HaMikdash. We've talked about the Beis HaMokad before. You can listen to the earlier recordings for that. The Kohanim would come in after him, and they were holding two torches. Nechleku or vinechleku l'shtei kitos. They then split up into two groups. Elam halchen ba'ach sadra derech mizrach, ve'elam halchen ba'ach sadra derech ma'arav or derech ha'ma'arav. Ha-mizrach, ha-ma'arav, mizrach, ma'arav. As we've said before, there are different editions with slightly different texts in the end of Kachim. But either way, what happens is they enter into the Beis HaMikdash, and now they're going to circumnavigate the room. So one group heads east, one group heads west. The group that heads west is going to have a longer journey, because if you look back at that diagram on Mem Amid Aleph, you see they're going to have to go all the way around the room and then around to the other side to get to where they're going to meet. We'll get to where they're meeting in a moment. While the group that's going east is just taking a short trip in order to get to that spot where they're going to meet. They're going to meet at a room called Lishkas Oseh Chavitin. Lishkas Oseh Chavitin, the room where they make the Chavitin, which are a daily flower offering of the Kohen Gadol. So that's where they're going to meet. If you're looking at the diagram on Mem Amid Aleph, you can see that it's towards the bottom. If you're looking at it, it's towards the bottom. You see a little room called Lishkas Oseh Chavitin in the area that's labeled Ezras Yisrael. That's where they're going to meet. Now, the Mishnah said that they were Mahalchen Be'achsadra. They walked in an Achsadra. So Achsadra, we've discussed before, is some kind of a pavilion, a roofed area without walls. And the parish here, the commentary in the margin here, in the Gemara explains that they actually had structures that surrounded the Azara, and that's where they're walking. They're walking underneath those roofs. The Gemara is going to come back and talk about them and tell us what they're made of, but that's the space that they're walking in. So they're just going around, and they're just inspecting the Beis HaMikdash to make sure that nothing is missing. Okay. So back in our Mishnah, again, we're back on 28a. We are now four lines up from the bottom. They would inspect until they reach the place where the Kohen would make the Chavitin that are for the Kohen Gadol's Karban, this flower offering. When they met, they would say, Shalom, all's good, we found everything, nothing missing. Hamidu oseh chavitim lasos chavitin. Then they designated one of them whose job would be to make these chavitin, which we're not going to really talk a whole lot about, but they're a flower offering. We'll talk marginally about them at the end of the recording today. Mishazach alisro mishamizbeach hu yisro. We then move on to talk about the truma, about the separation of or elevation of the ashes from the mizbeach. So the one who had gained the right to do Trumas Hadashan, to take the ashes, he would now do that. Behem Omrim, and they would warn him. Don't touch the utensils you're going to be using until first you wash your hands and feet from the kior that's required to start the daily service, even if you're not Tamei. According to the commentary on the side of the page, this is part of the speech that they would give him. They would say to him, your shovel that you're seeking, that's going to be at the corner between the kevesh, the ramp, and the mizbeach, the ma'arava shel kevesh, on the west side of the kevesh. The ramp was on the south side of the mizbeach. So so on the west side of the ramp, still south side of the mizbeach, that's where you will find your shovel. Okay. Ein adam nichnas imo. Nobody would accompany him in, and the reason why nobody accompanies him is because he's going into an area where you're only supposed to go in the event that you have something to do, that you have a job to do. If you're doing the avoda, then you go there, otherwise not. V'loner biado, and he wasn't holding a lamp, and of course he couldn't be holding a lamp, because if he's holding a lamp, how's he going to hold the shovel? Ela mahalich or hamaracha. So he walked around by the light from the mizbeach. Lo hayuroin oso, v'lo hayushomin es kolo. No one could see him, and no one could hear him. Again, you don't have light, so it's hard to see him. But they also note that in the parish on the side, that in the commentary on the side, that just the angle of things, because of the size of this ramp, would actually block them from being able to see him. Okay, v'lo hayushomin es kolo, but they didn't hear him either. Ach yushomin kol eisha said ben kitin muhne lakior, until they heard the sound of the pulley that ben kitin made. Ben kitin was the one who established some kind of a wheel and pulley system for the kior. If you want to know more about muhni, take a look. There's a Mishnah in Kalim that has a description of a muhni on a box. But basically, it's a wheel and pulley system, it seems. And it was used to lower the kior at night, so that the kior, which is the sink that holds the water the kohanim used to wash, would actually be lowered into a pool during the night, and then it would be picked up in the morning. And the reason for that is because that way the water that the kior was holding would not become disqualified from use. In the event that it was out of the pool overnight, it was disqualified for use the next day. This way it was still available for use the next morning. So he uses the pulley to draw up the kior, the sink. V'hein omen, higia eis kidesh yad baraglav mena kior. Ah, the time has come that he is doing kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. He's washing his hands and feet. Nata machtas hakesef. Having washed, he now takes the silver shovel, va'ala l'rosh ha-mizbeach, went up to the top of the mizbeach, v'pinas ha-gecholim, and he moved the coals. Our edition is Halach, other editions have Elach, the Elach. He moved the coals in different directions. Chotes hamuchalas hapnimios, and he took the inner ones, the ones that had really deteriorated on the fire, those are the ones that he removes. The ones which, as the commentary on the side notes, asher tochal ha'esh, the ones that are consumed by the fire, since the Torah says that's what he's supposed to take, the coals that have been consumed by the fire. So those are the ones he would remove. We're now on the sixth line on 28b, Chav Ches Amud Beis. Yarad higia leritzpa hafach panav letzafon holech b'mizracho shal kevesh ke'eser amos. So then he descended from the mizbeach, went down the ramp, and he turned north. So he turns towards the mizbeach. Remember, the ramp is on the south side of the mizbeach. So now he turns north, and he walks b'mizracho shal kevesh on the east side of the ramp ke'eser amos, about 10 amos towards the mizbeach. The ramp itself is 30 amos, we are told. So he's walking 10 amos back towards the mizbeach, now on the floor. So he piled up the coals that he had on the floor, rachuk min hakevesh shlosha tefachim, 3 tefach away from the ramp. Makom shenosdin muras ha'of v'dishin mizbeach hapnimi v'dishin hamenorah. There were 3 deposits that were made there. One was the muras ha'of, the mura, the JPS on Vayikra, on the first parak in Vayikra, renders mura as the crop of a bird. If you brought a bird carbon, you deposited certain materials from the inside of the bird, which were really revolting materials, that didn't go on the Mizbeach, you would deposit them there. The Pasuk saying, Behesiris mur asa, benot asa, you remove the mura as well as the feathers, and those are put there near the Mizbeach, but not quite next to the Mizbeach, as well as the ashes of the Mizbeach are going there, and also the Mishnah said, Dishun HaMenorah, the ashes that they cleaned out of the menorah would go on that spot. End of Mishnah. We now have the Gemara's comments to the Mishnah. We are about 10-12 lines down on Chaf Chesam Beis 28b. The Gemara wants to know about those pavilions that we said surrounded the Achsadros, that surrounded the Azara. When we have Achsadros ba'Azara, are you allowed to have an Achsadra in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash? I keep saying surrounded. It's really the outer edge of the Azara. And Vahatanya, I have a brisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov picks up on something interesting. There's a pasuk in Devarim Tetzayin which warns, Lo sitalacha ashira kol eitz, eitz lo mizbach Hashem elokecha, dot. You shall not plant for yourself an ashira, any tree next to the mizbeach. Right? This is much discussed regarding the practice of having trees or greenery in shuls on Shavuos. But if you read the pasuk carefully, think about it. It says, you shall not plant an ashira, any tree next to the mizbeach of Hashem. Ashira is a tree that we usually associate with Avodah Zarah, with idolatry. Either the tree was worshipped or the idol was kept at the base of the tree. Either way, the Torah has two different expressions. But either way, the Asherah is associated with Avodah Zarah. So the Torah should simply say, Lo sitalacha Asherah. Don't plant any Asherah. What do you mean next to the Mizbeach? You can't have any Asherahs at all. You get rid of an Asherah. You don't plant one. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov picks up on that. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Minayin Shein Osin Achsadros Ba'Azara. How do you know? You're not supposed to be making any pavilions, he thinks, of wood in the Azara. Tamalomar, Lo Sital Locha Asherah Kol Eitz Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. You shall not plant an Asherah, any tree, next to the Mizbeach of Hashem, your God. And he is bothered by our question. You can't plant an Asherah anywhere. Hachi Kamar, and he explains, Lo sitalacha Asherah, you shall not plant an Asherah for yourself. That's one point. Don't have any Asherah anywhere. Second point, Lo sitalacha kol eitz, etzel Mizbeach Hashem alokecha. Don't plant any tree next to the Mizbeach of Hashem, your God. End of quote. And now you understand the problem. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov understands this pasuk to say, Asherah nowhere. But no wood in the Beis HaMikdash, even if it's not an Asherah. You can't build things out of wood and just put them there. So Rav Chisda says, I understand. Amar Chisda, Bachsadro Shel Binyan. Rav Chisda says, the answer is, we're talking about stone. We're not talking about wood. So therefore there's no problem. Okay, last bit in the parak, in the chapter, Hayubodkin Vahochin, etc. We said that the groups of Kohanim who were inspecting the Beis HaMikdash would meet at the area where the Chavitin are made, these cakes of grain offering that the Kohen Gadol is going to bring. So, and you set up a Kohen to start working over there. So the Gemara says, Lamebra the Chavitin Havu Kedimi. Are you trying to tell me that you're doing Chavitin in the beginning? That's the start of your Avodah for the day? Vatanya, I have a brisa that says, Minayin Shein Davar Kodem L'Tamid Shel Shachar. How do I know that nothing is supposed to precede the daily morning Karban? Tamaloma Ve'arach Oleha Ha'ola. Because the Pasuk says, you shall arrange the Ola, the burnt offering, on it. The wood on the Mizbeach, the Amar Rabba Ha'ola Ola Rishona, and Rabba says when it says the Ola, that means the first Ola, specifically the Karban Tamid, that's supposed to go first. So how could you now tell me that you're working on the Chavitin before you've done your Ola, which is supposed to come first, the Ola's Tamid, the daily Karban? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Lahachim Chaman LeRavicha. Rabbi Yehuda says no, he didn't actually do anything. All he did was he heated up the water that they're going to use to scald the flour that they're going to use to make the Chavitin, but nothing is actually going to be done until after the avodah, the service of the Karban Tamid in the morning. Hadronach b'shloshim mekomos. That concludes the first parak. However, we're going to continue to do a little bit more here, just to see the Mishnah down to the bottom of Chochesim at base. Ra'u echav sheyarad v'heim ratzim muboyim. So the Kohanim would now see that the person taking the ash from the Mizbeach had descended from the Mizbeach, and they would immediately race in. They've got jobs to do. Miru b'kitshu yudev ragleim en ha-kiyor. They washed their hands and feet from the kiyor. Nathlos ha-magrepos v'asitzinoros. They took their own mini shovels. They also took tzinoros, which are some kind of fork. And they went to the top of the Mizbeach, where they're also going to be taking care of things. They couldn't do this before. They had to wait till after the Trumas Hadesh, and now they can do this. Any parts from the Karbanos of the previous day, any pieces from the Karbanos, the limbs, the fats, that had not been, that had not already deteriorated on the Mizbeach the night before, they shove them off to the side of the Mizbeach, and in Ein Stad de Marzikin, if there isn't any room on the sides, the main side of the, if you don't have any space for them on the sides, sodrin osam besovev ve'al hakevesh or al hakevesh, then they would shift them to be on the walkway that the Kohen used to go around the Mizbeach, and even on the ramp. The ramp, for certain purposes, has the status of the Mizbeach itself. And this is important because if you remove them from the Mizbeach, then they can't go back on. At that point, they're disqualified. However, as long as they stay on the walkway or on the ramp, they're okay. They can be put back on the Mizbeach. And then they took the ashes that were there on the Mizbeach, not the ones that had been removed, but the one that's still there. They would accumulate it in a big pile. Tafuach here, tapuach does not mean an apple here. It means something bloated. They, much like we use the word tapuach to refer to fruits that have a certain shape. Tapuach, obviously the apple that we refer to, but also tapuz is tapuach zahav, it's an orange. Tapuach adama, the potato. Those who know French will see the association there as well. But the idea here is that it's in this big pile. Tafuach chaya be'emtza mizbeach. He had this big bloated pile at the on the middle of the mizbeach. Pa'amim shahayu or shahaya alav kishlosh meyos kor. Sometimes it accumulated 300 kor. 300 kor is a massive amount. For reference, a kor is a volume measure. It's 30 sa'ah. Okay, what does that mean? Well, if you do the math, 300 kor is 9,000 sa'ah. Okay. A mikvah, minimum size for a mikvah is 40 sa'ah. 9,000 sa'ah is 225 mikvahot. So your pile here will be big enough to be 225 mikvahot. Well, how big is the minimum mikvah? 3 amos by 1 amma by 1 amma. So 3 cubic amos. So 225 mikvahos, 675 cubic amos. How big is an amma? Rav Moshe's measure was 21.6 inches. Others say larger. At this point, I leave you to do the rest of the math yourself. I live in a country where they don't use inches. We're on the metric system. Fine. Continuing in the Mishnah, you have this large pile of ash that they had built up. During Yom Tov, they wouldn't remove the ashes because it was nice. Everybody should come and see. Look at all these karbanos that people are bringing. It was considered to be some of the splendor of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Kohen never was too lazy to remove the ash when he was supposed to, meaning whoever's job was to actually clear off the ashes by the time it came to remove it, would never refuse to do so. This is service of Hashem, and therefore it was something that people rushed to and embraced.